I like most about the MAP program is the weekly chats.
Me too. I think it adds a lot of value. Yeah, it's something that no one else really offers, the one-on-one attention. And that's what I want to do, is I want to work directly with these musicians. I'm not just trying to put out some thing that's a total passive income for me. I love doing this and helping you guys brainstorm for new ideas. So, yeah, I'm actually thinking in Schwilly news, we can get into that section, I guess.
Sure.
I was going to kind of share some thoughts about this for people that watch the replay. But, yeah, so, like, you know, I teach you guys not to undervalue yourselves, to do premium art, charge premium prices. And my business coach yesterday pointed out to me that I'm undervaluing myself and that I shouldn't charge $1,000 for the map, which is a kind of a line that I'm scared of crossing.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that's what Rick Barker charges. That's what Leah McHenry charges. That's what Ari Herstand charges. But he pointed out to me, well, you provide a lot more value than any of them. And if you charge the same price as them, you're competing with them anyway. But if you charge a premium price, then that right off the bat shows people, you know, separate you. But on top of that, it actually gets you the value for what you're offering, you know? So I'm kind of hemming and hawing about it, but he's gotten me kind of convinced that I need to charge $2,000 once the MAP 2.0 launches. So kind of scares me a little bit, because it's like, well, there'll be backlash. But on the other hand, I would rather work with less people and be more involved with them, so I can, you know, increase the one-on-one sessions to like 5.
Yeah.
And that plus like the template that I give out and these weekly meetings and the fact that it's a lifetime membership pretty much fills out that other $1,000.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. You know, I have two viewpoints on it. My first viewpoint is agreeing with you and even taking that even further. You know, if you were going to go to college to learn how to do this stuff, you'd be spending way more than $2,000. I mean, way more than $2,000, as we both know.
Yeah.
You know, the devil's advocate side, which isn't really devil's advocate. It's just a consideration. It's not even a thing, but like, you know, I look at this as a business. Which obviously that's what you teach. It's how we're supposed to look at it. And I know for some folks that are just getting off the ground, starting a business, they may not have the $2,000 to invest. If, you know, depending on what they're, you know, but now if they have a day job and they're trying to get out of their day job, then they might have that steady income coming in where they could pay the $2,000. But if they're not, you know, then they either have to, which, I mean, in a way is a good thing, because then you know the people you're dealing with are the ones that are going to get after it and actually do what you tell them to do. The ones that are going to scrimp and save and set aside the money to buy the course and not spend it on gear or something else. So, you know, there's that side of it too. But starting a business, you know, you're going to have startup costs. Some people can see that, and some people couldn't. If it was $2,000, it might have taken me longer to come up with the money to do it, because I work primarily for myself at this point. But I'm also a type of person of that. I do have that mindset. If I want something bad enough, I'm going to figure out how to make it happen.
Yeah, that's exactly how I feel about it. It's like, all right, well, you know, taking it from $1,000 to $2,000, it's going to, right there, is going to eliminate some people. I know there's some people that are in it right now that wouldn't have taken the plunge at $2,000. But I know a lot of those now being on the inside would probably say, yeah, it's worth the $2,000. So
I would say that. I would absolutely say that. And I would have figured it out. Had it been $2,000, knowing what I know now, I would have figured it out.
That's cool.
I'd come up with the extra $1,000 because that is worth it.
That makes me feel better. Like, because he pointed out, he's like, you're going to hit a ceiling. Like the amount of time and effort you put, what he first said is like, you need to make the $1,000 version of this where you're not involved. It's just the videos, not the classes and not the personal attention, have as an assistant answer the emails and stuff. And I said, I don't even want to do that. That's what sets me apart. So I don't even want to offer that level of course, you know, maybe like the Twitter course standalone is kind of like that, but I still will answer, you know, questions by email or whatever. But as a full thing, I don't want to half-ass it. Yeah. So he's like, well, then your only other option is to raise the price. And yeah, so it will eliminate some people. It will mean get less people sign up, but kind of like how you said, that's exactly what he said. The people that will sign up will be that much more committed to going after it. Cause that's one of the questions he asked me, was like, how committed are your students? Are they 100% committed? I'm like, well, it depends. You know, life happens. People kind of come in and out of being able to be involved. And he's like, well, don't you want to work with people that are 100% committed? From the get-go and work all the way through it. So and I'm like, yeah, but I want to make it accessible also for other people. But that is the other thing, because I worry about this whole competition aspect with those other people, which I shouldn't see them as competition. What I do is so vastly different from what they do. Even though it's in the same arena, I have so many other facets that I tackle. So, I'm glad to have your support on that.
Yeah,
that's something I think I'll probably end up doing.
It reminds me of a quote. I think it was from the Miracle movie, where the coach goes, "I'm not looking for the best players. I'm looking for the right ones."
Yeah.
You know, and that's what you know, in your situation, that's what I see with the map. You're not looking for the best people. You're looking for the right people.
That's right.
You know, and you're not looking for. You're looking for, you know, we used to say this in network marketing all the time too. You're looking for the people who are looking for you. You know, the ones that want it, like I said in the beginning, the ones that want it will figure out how to make it go right, to make it happen.
And I know that's true. I wanted it really bad. I came up with $3,500 to pay for the course that taught me how to build this course.
Yeah.
So, and I, you know, it's not like I should have too much sympathy. I started out from being homeless.
Right.
So, you know, people that come at me with that argument, it's like, well, were you homeless? You know, okay, then we can move on to the next part of the conversation.
But, right, exactly.
But yeah, I mean, oh, what else did I want to say? Oh. Right players. Yeah. Yeah, it's the right people I'm looking for. And I have enough, I mean, to show for it. Like Brad Mary just, you know, made like $5,000 in their crowdfunding campaign. So
yeah,
that should.
You've got that. You've got Matt Steady's testimonial.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'd like to have some more. Tom's about to finish his, and you know, his goal is only 1,000, but he's going to get it. And he knows what areas, you know, what things to improve on and what didn't, you know, what in his whole process to make it better for next time. So yeah.
And the thing I like too is that I kind of feel like I've been a part of it. I know I wasn't the first person in, but I still feel like I'm a part of it, maybe not from the ground up, but at least the first floor up. I feel like this was really at my level for where I was at in my career, and I'm growing right there with you and everybody else. And I just feel like a lot of those other courses were just really out of my league, to be honest with you. And I feel like some of them, yeah, I kind of feel like you already have to have some things going in order to really be able to take full advantage of those courses, especially, you know, the videos on a conveyor belt ones that where you don't get, you know, to bounce ideas off your fellow classmates or the instructor, and especially every week in a live setting like this, just like showing up for class in school. That's helped me a ton. Even though I'm an experienced musician, I'm not at all seasoned when it comes to building my own career from the ground up, which is what I've spent the last year doing. So,
right.
That's been priceless for me. I look cool. forward to these chats every day. I know there was a couple weeks where I couldn't make it, but that wasn't because I didn't want to. So, cool. I mean, this time every Thursday is sacred time for me. I don't plan anything else except this.
Cool. That's good to know. Yeah. And that's something that's very intentional for me. Like it's designed so that you can start with zero subscribers. It's designed for people that already have all the music stuff developed, that have already developed their talent, but starting from zero subscribers through getting your $10,000 offering and building the audience that will pay for that. You don't need anything else. You don't need all that peripheral strategy and checklist and stuff that everybody else will throw at you that requires some basis to even really look at. You know, it's really streamlined, and I mean, it's the exact process that I used, and I got here a lot faster than a lot of people doing those other methods. Not, you know, none of the peripheral BS, just the stuff that you need, and you can start from zero.
So, yeah, that kind of leads me into something I wanted to bring up today too, is what I've noticed, and I've had to catch myself because I've noticed this. It's actually been a good thing because my awareness, my antennas are up. But if you're not careful, it's real easy to get overwhelmed with the amount of things that you could possibly do. In terms of, you know, trying to promote your career. I mean, there's your email list, and then there's Patreon, and then there's this Facebook group, and then there's that course, and then there's this, you know, Busker and all this other kind of Periscope and Facebook Live and all that other kind of jazz. And it's almost like on the one hand, I kind of feel like, I kind of feel like I want to be seen in as many places as possible. But on the other hand, I kind of feel like there's a part of me that just feels like I should just stick with one avenue for a while and just keep on keeping on that one avenue for a while, and not try to spread myself so thin on trying to get into all these different avenues. Sometimes it's a little unnerving. Especially like when you see somebody having success on, let's say, Patreon, for example, kind of makes you want to go, oh, well, maybe I should be on Patreon. No, I think I just need to stay the course and do what Carlos is teaching me to do, and eventually I'll get there. You know, it's like I have to check myself, check up from the neck up, you know, and just remember that, you know, everybody's on their own path, and it's always different than the path that you're on, and it's finding that balancing act can sometimes be emotionally and mentally very challenging.
Yeah, and that's another thing about a lot of these other courses. They give you so much stuff that it does get overwhelming. This kind of came up yesterday when Allison was asking me about hashtags on Twitter. I'm like, I don't bother with them. Don't waste your time. And she's like, everybody's telling me I have to do hashtags. And my whole point was that just puts more shit on your plate to do that's going to spread you thin and not necessarily get you the results. Everybody is full of shit. Because they give you way too much to do instead of just figuring out what the most effective things are and have you only focus on those, you know? Yeah. And that's one of the problems with all these other, they're like everything in the kitchen sink programs, you know, where they give you all this whole array of options and you don't know where to start or what to do next. You know, with me, it's like, here's the one thing I did, and it's what's more important than the actual process or tool or skill that I use is the skill that you learn from doing it. And you can take that skill and apply it to a different platform or something else if you want. And people in the program have the freedom to do that, and I'm seeing them do that. And when we share that with the class, it kind of adds a lot to what's possible without people getting spread too thin. Here's the other thing I wanted to mention is that. My coach was like, are you having insecurities about your qualifications? Because I was mentioning how, well, you know, Rick Barker, big industry, you know, Taylor Swift, former manager, Ari Herstand and Liam McHenry are full-time working musicians themselves. And he asked me, what perspective do you bring to this? And I said, well, the super fan, obviously. That's I've been talking about. He's like, that you're the customer. You're the most important perspective any business can have. You've got 20 years of being a serious music customer. So that outweighs 20 years of music industry or 20 years of figuring out how to make it for yourself in your specific niche.
I think that's important too.
Yeah.
I think that is important too, because you're the type of person we're trying to attract into our own businesses. Mm-hmm. And I had this epiphany about a week ago, which it shouldn't have been an epiphany. It was almost like as soon as I thought about it, I went, well, duh. But because I was reminded again of something that I got from my days in network marketing is that we're not, and at that time I was with a company called Primerica, and the service they provided to consumers was financial products, right? But I remember them telling us, we're not in the financial business. You know, we're not in the music business. We're in the people business. Mm-hmm. Ain't that right?
Yep.
We're in the people business. Our product just happens to be music.
Yeah, there's actually, I'm reading, Yeah, I'm reading a Seth Godin book right now called Meatball Sunday. It's about new marketing. It's actually like 10 years old, but he's right on the money. He's like, the new marketing isn't necessarily about the technology. It's about what you're doing. And old marketing was about connecting the creators with the consumers and having a thin wall of communication between them. New marketing is about connecting the consumers with other consumers. So basically for us, for music, it's about connecting fans with each other more so, and having open communication between the creator and the consumer. So basically what I teach, the letting them into your creative process. And it's more about the community, which is connect. So it's the same stuff that I'm actually applying that he predicted like 10 years ago. And yeah, so I don't, because I've come at this without any of those old ideas, without being stuck to any of those old ideas, is why it's so powerful what I'm doing. And 20 years of experience as a dedicated customer does give me the ability to offer premium product. And, you know, everybody that's taken this course and one of the other ones has said this one's way better. So, I mean, it just makes sense. Yeah, it shouldn't make sense that I should charge the same amount. You know, like I said, I do want to make it more accessible. So I'm thinking about maybe putting together a payment plan that's $100 a month. That'd be like a 3 years of payments. But
yeah, but you know what? I would totally do that.
Mm-hmm.
I would totally do that. If I didn't have the cash up front, I would totally. Well, I mean, I decided to do the monthly with you anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I had the cash up front. I could have paid the $750 in one fell swoop if I wanted to, but I decided to do the monthly and then save that money in the bank for a rainy day. But I would totally do the $100 a month. It's only $25 more a month or $28 a month.
So if I'm able to still set up that same monthly payment amount, it doesn't really exclude anyone that I'm worried about excluding.
No, and you might offer like an early bird rate for a limited time, just like what you teach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, well, that's what I'm thinking.
Early bird rate for a limited time.
That's what I'm thinking. Like right when I launch, I'll keep going for $1,000 just for the subscriber list before I actually open it and start marketing to the public. And be like, all right, well, it's open now. It's going to be $2,000, but you've got 2 weeks to get in on it at the old price just because you've been here since the beginning, and then it goes up. So that's kind of what I'm thinking.
Does that mean now? What about us that are already in it? Are we?
If you're already in it, you're already in it. You already got your lifetime membership.
Okay.
I'm not going back on the deal I've given anyone else.
Yeah.
That's already been part of this. So definitely not. Everyone that's in it is grandfathered through lifetime. And that's the other thing. And because it is a lifetime membership, because I do put so much time into it, like I will be ultimately invest that much time in every individual. So what I'm thinking is $2,000 upfront, the 1 year payments for $200 a month. So you pay like $2,400.
Yeah.
And then maybe 3 years of payment, or like maybe 30 months of payment at $100 a month. So that'd be like $3,000.
But it's like you said, I mean, with the lifetime access,
and it keeps upgrading. We upgrade constantly.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, and that's another thing I like about the MAP course is that you're helping us stay current. Like, because, you know, for example, I mean, let's look at what happened with Twitter and Tweepy. I mean, you're going to have to revamp that Twitter course, of course, because Tweepy went wonky and so did Twitter. And because we're in the MAP, you know, we're privy to that and we're staying on the front edge of that. And now we got guys like Jason that built that his own app, you know, that we're able to test drive. We wouldn't be able to do that if we weren't involved in this thing.
Right. And even
if you financed the thing over 3 years and ended up paying an extra $1,000 in interest or whatever you wanted to call it, it still would have been worth it for me, because I am in this for the long term. The people that aren't in it for the long term, well, I mean, that's, oh, well, too bad, so sad for them. If they're not thinking about this long term, then they're not thinking right about it anyway. Because you can't build a successful business in 6 months. I don't care what your business you're in. You know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I feel a lot better about that. Because I know, like, the Music Marketing Manifesto, which I loved when it first came out, and the 2.0 or whatever in 2013, that's one of the first things I really studied and started applying.
Yeah.
But by the time he just came out with the new version, but with for the last 3 years, it's been completely outdated.
Yeah.
And he's still been selling it, and people have just been buying it and been totally confused by it. So it's like this will never be in a situation like that where it's outdated. If there's, you know, there's new stuff and new trends, we're on top of those and we're testing those as a group and updating the course as necessary.
Yeah. That's one of the things, like I said, that's one of the things I really like about it, is that we're staying on the front edge of the changes that are happening. And it's really just the awareness points of being wary of, you know, what has become of the industry, which isn't really much of an industry anymore. And this has been really good. It's been really healthy. So between this and my balanced breakfast group, I've gotten a really good handle on how to drive this bus, so to speak. It's just, again, I think for me, it's just keeping myself on track and not being too overwhelmed with all of the possibilities that are there for independent artists, and just trying to figure out what are the most effective ways to promote. I mean, other than live shows, which I'm still trying to solve that puzzle. You know, the next best thing is finding the Twitter audience, I think. You know, getting the subscribers. Right?
Mm-hmm. Cool. Well, hopefully some people will watch the replay and other people will chime in, and hopefully if they'll be hopefully I hope hopefully everybody kinda has the same thoughts as you on that. That'll make me feel a lot better about it. And definitely I should ask for what I'm worth so that I can give my full self to this.
Yeah.
Cool. Was there anything you wanted to talk about?
The little mini challenge was fairly successful.
Cool.
I got I think I only ended up with one additional subscriber, but I made $50.
Nice.
So, you know, and it's nothing to sneeze at, and I didn't even have to leave my house.
Yeah, so that's kind of one of the things when I first put out the challenge I thought it would be more of a subscriber driver tool, but it turns out it's actually getting monetization more effectively, which is better
you know,
when it comes down to it. So that's cool. And just having that content to share other places. Are you repurposing the videos at all?
I haven't yet. I guess that's another phase I need to look into how to do that. I mean, I know you can download all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, at one point I had something on my master to-do list to download all of my Facebook Live videos, and probably gonna take me a few days to find them all and download them all. I don't have a problem doing that though. I guess I should set up some kind of a YouTube channel. I have a YouTube channel from before, but it's old. It's got old stuff on it. It doesn't have my new stage name and or any of my new branding on it at all. And I guess I wasn't sure what to do with YouTube at this point. How to Maybe this is a good topic to discuss, because I wasn't sure what would be the best repurposing of the videos. Would it be best on YouTube? And then if so, then how do I go about reinventing myself on YouTube? Do I leave that old content there? Do I shut that down and just completely start from scratch? You know, because some of those videos were kind of, you know, semi-professionally done, but the recordings, you know, they're okay. They're not my best work, I don't think, not at this point. They might have been 4 years ago, you know. But like, for example, my City Boy song, that's one of the videos we did. I re-recorded that song, and I like the new version is way better than the old version. I'm also a better singer now than I was 4 years ago. So it's like,
well, so there's no reason to get rid of anything unless you don't like it.
Okay.
You can just paint over what you already have with your new branding and everything.
Yeah, I think it would be a matter of setting up a brand new channel, I think, though.
Why?
Well, because like I said, all the old stuff was done under my old name. So when you click on the
video, you can't just rename it?
Not in the video.
Oh. So, but if you could rename it on the channel, that's fine. And then you could, that would be a playlist. All that old stuff would be a playlist from a former life or whatever, you know, just that it's what the stuff you'd want to keep that's worth keeping. The stuff you don't want to keep, it's like a one button to unpublish it when click to unpublish it. Right. The stuff that you would want to keep, I would just put in like a its own playlist, like from the vault or something like that.
Because yeah, from the archives. From
yeah,
the,
people like idea. That. People like that origin stuff, especially the super fans. So even if it's not necessarily what you're doing right now, really representative of that, could be interesting to super fans. Okay. And you know, how many followers does the channel have?
I don't know. I have to go back and look. So, I haven't done anything with it in a while. You know, so it's been kind of dormant. So there's probably not, I mean, there hasn't been a lot of activity. So,
so not much. Yeah, I mean, it doesn't really matter. What matters the most is making it the least amount of work for you.
Yeah.
So it would be more work to build a whole new channel from scratch, especially if you're going to keep some of the content. If you can just rename the channel, and unless you already have the custom URL in there, it should be pretty easy. And I don't even have a custom URL on mine yet. But
no, I don't think there's a custom URL on this one. It's so old.
Okay, so
it's
then
just a random string of characters, I think, is
yeah. Pretty. So that's just a matter of putting your new branding in the header image, linking
which
to
it
your,
is.
Yeah, that's linking true. To your new what you know in the social media in the squeeze page and stuff in the little in the corner there, and putting the old stuff in the archive list, and then make sure you're partner verified, which just is a matter of showing them that you own your domain name. You can YouTube a video of how to do that.
Okay.
And once you're partner verified, you can drip content. So basically what you can do is just download all the videos, the new ones that you want to add. And you don't necessarily need to do all of them, just the ones that you think went well.
Yeah.
If they all went well, fine. And maybe go into a photo editor and put a little animated button at the end for subscribe. That way, cause you have to do that. You can't really do that in YouTube. It's kind of the stuff you can use to create the clickable links is just like a little square, and you can, I think you can write text and stuff, but you can make a little animated button. I do that in my screen flow. And then you put the little square from YouTube around it so that when it appears, then it becomes clickable. So you have to be partner verified in order to click, in order to link to anything outside of YouTube in those. And so, which is your squeeze page is what you want to link to. And the squeeze page has to be attached to your domain names, your domain name. So it can't be like the lead pages or whatever, or MailerLite. But I know with lead pages, I have like a little plugin that makes my lead pages publish on my WordPress. You're in MailerLite, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So MailerLite, I'm not exactly sure. They may have something similar, so you want to check with them on that. But the other thing you can do when you're partner verified is download all the videos, put the buttons in, then upload them all, and then drip them out, pre-schedule them to go out once a week. So that way you can do them all at once, and you can have a consistent something coming out once a week for the next however many videos you got in there, and you don't have to worry about it. And then between now and then, you can build up another bulk load. So that way you can batch it instead of having to go in there and do it all the time. So it'll just be kind of one kind of hefty project for right now, but then you'll be set for a while.
No, that's actually not a bad idea. Because if I go back, if the ones from my 30-day Facebook Live challenge from last fall are still up, plus the 7 I just did, I mean, 26 weeks, that's a half a year right there.
Yep, there you go.
That's 37 videos once a week. You know, if 26 of them are decent.
Mm-hmm.
That's half a year's worth of weekly content right there.
Right. And that's weekly content on your YouTube as each one publishes. That's that stuff you can start rotating on Twitter.
So did like send like during my weekly scheduled tweets that I do on Hootsuite every once put the link to the YouTube in there.
Yeah.
For that week, for that week's release.
Yeah, what I do, you can do that. Or what I do is I just have a spreadsheet with all of my content, all of my videos, all of my blog posts and everything else in a spreadsheet. And when my mom goes into schedule, she does 8 from my Google Alerts and she does 2 from my content. So you can keep rotating them. Once it's in there, you can just keep it in the rotation.
Yeah, that's cool.
So that saves it up. You can also embed them as blog posts, add a little more context in a written way, and use that as the content so that it's sending people back to your website. So you can send people to your YouTube channel. Ultimately, what's going to be more valuable is sending them to your website where, you know, the subscribe button's right there. But it's worth sharing some from YouTube too to see if that channel grows. You know, see what kind of organic growth you get on YouTube and what kind of responses you get there, because the whole purpose of each social media platform is to find new fans in that area. This is why it's so annoying to see on Twitter. I get so many people, hey, thanks for following me on Twitter. Follow me on Instagram and YouTube and Facebook too. It's like, you just wasted your opportunity to meet me. I'm on Twitter. This is where I'm at. Maybe I'm not on those other platforms. If you want to continue the relationship, get me on your email list.
Yeah.
You know, to send me to other that if you have the same people that are following you on all your different social media platforms, then you're wasting time by being on all the different social media platforms.
Yeah.
It's just quadrupling your efforts to reach the same people.
Yeah, I can only handle the two, Facebook and Twitter is about all I can handle at this
point. Yeah, so set up the automation with all those videos you've got back prepared on YouTube. Embed them into your blog and use that as the content that you rotate, so it sends back to your website instead of YouTube. Send everything centralized to YouTube instead of sending people from one social media platform to another.
Okay, now you were saying you use a program called ScreenFlow.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I have iMovie. I guess I just have to find out how to put those subscribe buttons on the video.
I got, there's a button creator I use. Design. It's called it's at cooltext.com. I'll put the link in the chat here.
Oh, awesome. Awesome. Thank you.
So what you can do is just create a button, a nice looking button, and then you just use whatever video editor, I'm sure you can do it in iMovie too, and just overlay it when you want it to appear. If you got some cool animation effects, feel free to use those or whatever, and just put it into the video physically. And then when you upload it into YouTube, you can find where it appears, put the little square around it, and attach the link to it.
Yeah, I remember finding something on YouTube itself that tells you how to add links to your
video. Yeah, there's plenty of instructions on YouTube, video instructions about how to use YouTube. So
Yeah,
look for that there. Use the button generator to create a cool looking button and then just overlay it on your video. And, you know, once you find a button that, you know, you don't really need to create it once. You don't really need to take a lot of time and effort to create a bunch of buttons every time. But just find one that...
No, one button's kinda, fine.
Yeah, figure out that matches your branding or whatever. Maybe even put your logo in it a little bit or something. Or your, at least your colors, your branding colors.
Yeah, have that though.
However you want to do that. And then just have it on hand.
Yeah, I kind of feel like I should record like a generic... video to put at the end of each video.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like a tag video, like, hey, hope you enjoyed this week's episode. Be sure to, if you'd like to hear more, please click the subscribe or whatever that.
Yeah, that's cool.
So that'll be a project to add to the list. But that's a good idea, repurposing those videos. That's good.
Yep. So cool. That'll give you plenty to work on for the next little bit.
Oh, yeah, you ain't kidding.
Cool.
Yeah.
Hey, Linz and Elaine.
Hey, Linz and Elaine.
So we had a really important conversation before you guys joined about the map 2.0 and kind of something I'm considering doing. I don't really want to repeat the whole thing, but basically I'm considering charging $2,000 for it because, A, I don't want to, I offer so much more value than what the other ones do. I was kind of charging $1,000 because that's what everybody else charges, but I don't want to compete with them. I want to separate myself from them. Like I teach you artists, you know, to create premium art for premium prices. I kind of need to do the same thing. And I find I'm kind of undervaluing myself, especially for the amount of effort I put in to and attention I give to everyone. Of course, this doesn't affect anyone that's already part of it. You all get grandfathered up, but I just had some thoughts about the whole idea that I'd like to get everybody's opinion on. So just make sure to watch the replay and you know, comment about that. But yeah. So anyways, what did you win this week, Linz?
I'm just trying to plod along. I've got a few more gigs after I mentioned the ones last week. So that's pretty amazing. These food festivals really are doing great. The last weekend was when I went to the songwriting competition winners shenanigans in London in the recording studio. So that was amazing. And Jason's Twitter app thing. Oh my word. It's coming in now. I think the first week or two, it was really slow for me. And I actually thought, oh man, have I made a big mistake? Because I'm not getting any follow backs. And before on Tweepy, it was amazing. I think it's just caught up with itself now. It must have needed like to get going or something, you know, so as if you're starting from the ground up again. But I'm the reason why I turned my camera and my whatever off is because I'm trying to keep up with Twitter messages in cool. the background over here. So those are my wins this week. But
that's great to hear. I've been hearing nothing but awesome stuff about Jason's app. So I'm glad it's really rolling. Cool. Did you get any content from the studio?
Yeah. Oh, I did a few Twitter lives, which were. Fun. They were just little snippet things. We had to be a little bit careful, I think, to do too many like Facebook lives and Twitter lives. A couple of people were told not to do them because of copywriting stuff. But the songs that we did finish, we all got our names taken down and the PRS numbers and stuff. So should anything happen with those, then technically we get royalties from them. So
cool.
It was a good experience for me to write songs with other people, because you know what it's like to just, you know, be working on your own all the time. It was really lovely in a very, very fast pace environment weekend just to actually have other people to bounce ideas off and stuff. So that was good.
Awesome.
Yeah,
glad to hear it. That's cool. So did you have any questions or anything that you want to talk about?
No, I don't think so. I'm just checking in with everyone because that's what I like doing and hearing how everybody else is getting on and stuff. So I don't have any major questions this week. I just thought I'd come join in.
Cool. Well, glad to hear about your wins.
Thank you.
All right. What's up with you, Elaine? What did you kill this week?
Not much. I had the gambling concert on Monday, so yeah, I now have bragging rights that I got a piece performed in the National Concert Hall. It's kind of akin to, you know, the Grand Old Opry or Carnegie Hall or Royal Albert Hall. So there was that win. There's that arrived.
Nice.
The only thing is just I've had 2 days in Dublin, one with work, one with the music, earlier on this week. So I did, they're packaged, they're in envelopes, they're labeled, everything ready to go. But I ended up having to take 2 days off work this week just to try and recover. The body just kind of went, we're not doing this anymore. And it shut down for about 2 days. And thanks, Linz, for your tweets. Okay. And your messages kind of kept me going for a little bit. So they are sitting on my desk. They will be posted hopefully tomorrow when I go back to work. So you should have them. Well, Linz will get hers early next week. You guys should get them before the end of the night.
Cool.
The end of the week. So I'm hoping to have at least some of the soundtrack, if not finished, at least halfway through. So that by the time you get the book, you can actually start listening to the music along with it. So.
Awesome. I love how she's like, I didn't win much. I just got my book here and got played in a major theater. And,
right.
But that is a slow week for you.
It is actually, yeah. Well, I mean, I spent, what was it? What did I say to you, Linz? Wednesday, I basically slept. I think I woke up for about half an hour during the day, and I got up about 6 o'clock yesterday evening. And today was like 12, half 12 when I got up today. So like, I'm burning up. So I must be fighting off something as well. So yeah, it's been a really slow week for me. And I still have to fill it. There's an application for a new position. Well, not a new position, but a different position in work that is kind of right up my alley. It's in keeping with all the writing stuff that I'm doing as well. So that needs to be filled out before next Thursday. And it's an online application for investigator, actually, in the Garda Ombudsman. So it's like it's investigating the cops. So that would be a really interesting job to go for.
Yeah.
There's
internal affairs, right?
It is. It's kind of, yeah. It's, I mean, the guards over here, the cops over here have been getting a really, really bad rap lately. So it's in the protected disclosures. The only thing is it might hamper my writing a little bit, but I'm sure I could work around that. But it's just something different to try and something different to go for. And I have investigative experience to fall back on. Anyway, so it's not like I'm going into this completely as a newbie. So
cool.
We'll see. Fingers crossed. See how many people go for it.
That'll be awesome. Yeah, I was kind of thinking that it might. You'll get a lot more information in your head that you could write about, but be more restricted about which of it you can actually use.
Yeah, how much on real life experience I could base it on. Yeah, that would have to be really, really careful about it. But you know, I'm walking that line as it is anyway, so it's not going to be that much different for me. So yeah, it just means then either concentrating more on the music or more on, you know, other stuff. The guy actually who was the director of the Gamelin Instrument Group, he had been a bit of a prick, to be honest, on the lead-in up to doing the concert. Now I know this is just something he's very, very passionate about. Maybe he has ADD or something. Maybe he's just kind of like, this is just Gamelin. And but he was really unfriendly. He was quite rude, but he was actually really, really nice after the concert was over. And he even invited us to come back and invited me to come back and play with him. Like, yeah, it's on at 6 o'clock in Dublin. I haven't a hope in hell in getting there in time, because it's right smack bang in the middle of the city, which is not the easiest place to get to from any point outside of Dublin. So yeah, it was a bit weird at the end of it, because I didn't stay for drinks. I know, completely anti-Irish. I didn't stay. Like I had a two-hour drive. Well, not drive, but I had to get up back onto the Lewis, which is the tram. We have two different trams at the moment, and unlike anywhere else in the world, it's like we have a green line, we have a red line, and you fucking walk the distance in between the two. Mm. It's not, but they're working on a link, on a blue line to link up the two, but that's not in place at the moment. So I had to go out my way to get to the green line to get into where the National Concert Hall was. So it was a bit of a adventure. So yeah, there was no way I was staying for another two hour drive home, or you know, journey home. So that was me on Monday night.
Right on. That's cool though. I never had any my stuff played at the Grand Ole Opry.
Yeah, so it's one it's one location down. So I have a list of I have a bucket list of places I want to either perform in or be performed in. So yeah, that was kind of the first on the list. So yeah, Royal Opera House, Linz, I think next.
Fine. Yeah. I will come and watch and listen and enjoy.
I'll have you in the same box alongside me. It'll be fine.
Yay!
You know, at some point we need to have a Schwilly get together in person somehow. All of us world have to figure out a place to meet.
Mama Schwilly's working on a cruise, isn't she?
Yep, and in our fantasy world there will be a Schwilly family cruise.
Amazing.
So
that'd be way cool.
That's something I'm working together, and I'm also maybe a little bit before that we'll have some like retreats or something, you know. We'll get a rent a cabin, we'll do like an American one somewhere, do a European one somewhere, and if people can make it from other continents, that'll be cool. I'll be at all of them, I know.
So, I'm just thinking Euro Disney might be a pretty good spot to try and leave for.
You're speaking my language now.
I played in Euro Disney, I'll have you know.
Cool.
Yeah, no, it was with the orchestra and it wasn't my stuff, so, you know. I don't count that as a win. I just count it as a step along the way.
A job.
Pretty cool. Still pretty cool.
Much. Yeah.
I performed at Disney as a high school student. We had a trip there and we marched around Epcot Center and did some other stuff. It was pretty awesome.
It was pretty much the same thing. It was a couple of sort of junior youth community orchestras that were all performing in and around the same time. So we had like a 40-minute slot. So it was along the same lines.
Nice. Ah, memories.
Yeah.
All good.
Sweet. Well, did you have any questions or anything else you want to talk about, Elaine?
No, not really. It was just doing what Linz was doing, which was just kind of checking in and sort of seeing what's happening. I didn't get a chance to watch the replay yet. So I know there was a thing about hashtags that I want to kind of get caught up on.
Yeah, I can sum that up. I don't bother with hashtags. And what Allison was saying, well, everybody's telling me I have to do hashtags. So I told her everybody's full of shit. All that does is add a lot more to your plate and overwhelm you, and the benefits are almost nil. There is some possibility. It's kind of like going viral. Like, there is a possibility that you'll hook onto a hashtag that really does something amazing, but it's not worth your time and effort to really pursue.
I use them now on Instagram. You know, if I'm down at the beach, if it's, you know, that I wish I was surfing hashtag, which always seems to be quite popular. So when you're on Instagram, if you do use hashtags, it'll actually, when you start typing after the hashtag, it'll pop up what's the most kind of popular, what's trending the most. So mm-hmm. I, you know, if it's like, I should be riding, or I wish I was surfing, you know, I'll use those and it does get a little bit more engagement on Instagram. It's not something I use actively on Twitter, but it is something I would actively use on Instagram.
I hate those Instagram posts that have like 30 hashtags in them.
I stick to three. The rule of thumb I read was about three, but definitely no more than five.
Yeah, 3 to 5 is okay. That's not going to get annoying. But I see some like that just have a shitload, and it's like, okay, obviously
the entire post is just all hashtags.
Obviously, you're only here to promote shit, and I don't want to see it. So yeah, like what I was going to say, like on Twitter anyway, it'll show you on the side the ones that are trending popularly. So if you're doing something that happens to fit into one of those hashtags, no harm in doing it, but spending a lot of time and effort trying to figure out a hashtag strategy, your time and effort would be better spent following some more people and having some more conversations. And all of these checklists and strategies that everybody else will tell you that you need to be doing, all that does is fill your plate up too much and distract you from the things that are actually effective for you. So yes, there can be some benefits, but I don't bother with hashtags at all, and I wouldn't recommend putting any more effort into them than you're actually interested in. Don't force it in any way, because it's just like, you're not going to create a hashtag that becomes trending enough on its own to really do something for you. But if you can tag onto a hashtag that's already trending, the only other use I see for them is like if you're playing a live show, say at a venue that's too big to play, to have direct contact with the full audience, you can do something like take requests, send me requests at hashtag Linz at the coffee shop. And then you can easily organize and look through the requests and play them, you know, it's some way of making it interactive with your audience if it's too big to interact with them in a more personal way. That can be handy, but I've found in all my experience hashtags to be more effort than the reward you get for them. So, but yeah, I go into it a little bit more on yesterday, so feel free to watch replay. Make sure to watch today's replay as well. So I'm actually a little bit under the weather too, kind of recovering. I didn't get up until like 20 minutes before I got on line here, and I almost laid back down, but I knew John would be here waiting and didn't want to disappoint him.
Okay, so, I'm actually now not feeling so bad anymore.
Cool. So I guess we'll call it a – talked about some good stuff, though. We'll call it a little bit early and let you guys get back to work so you can tell me about all the wins you'll have next week. And I'll post up the replay and the link to that button generator I'll put in the, you know, like I've been doing.
Cool.
And I'll talk to you guys later.
All right. Thanks.
Okay, bye.
Bye. Bye.